Lift up your heads, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, his promise to
Today I want to accomplish two important tasks, and two tasks only. The first task is that to clearly define for you from the Bible the incredible warning that is given there every time it's Christmas. The second thing I want to do is to clearly define for you and me from the Bible the incredible love and mercy and grace of Jesus Christ that is always called to our attention at Christmas. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us together on the 25th of December even though we know it's really not your birthday. But the world believes that. And we want to honor you because you did this for us. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight and a blessing to all of us, including me, because we need your blessings in spite of our faults and shortcomings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I pulled a fast one on us all. I changed the sermon. No, I didn't. God did. In the bulletin it says, do not fear. And Amar read the scripture very beautifully from Luke. Fear not, little flock, for the Lord, the Father's desire is to give you the kingdom. I guess I'll make that next week. This week is missing the boat. Here's what God shared with me I want to share with you. And that is this. The saying missing the boat originated, they think, around the 18th century in England. It literally meant that, you know, one of the primary modes of transportation is a boat. Especially if you live by water and you're trying to get to some other place. And missing the boat is a saying that implies exactly what it says. You miss it. And you're standing there and there's nothing you can do. You're too late. Well, I want you to look at this quote. There is Methuselah working on the ark. Methuselah, along with Noah. And here's what patriarchs and prophets tell us. Amid the prevailing corruption, Methuselah, Noah, and many others labored to keep alive the knowledge of the true God and to stay the tide of moral evil. Methuselah and his sons, who lived to hear the preaching of Noah, assisted in building the ark. What is sad about that statement? Well, someone with confidence said something, so it must have been right. Methuselah's sons did not get on the ark. We know that Methuselah died the very year of the flood. But his sons, who built on the ark, never got on it. They missed the boat. I want you to know that right away in the Bible, when sin occurred, we're told this. In Genesis 3:15, and you might want to write these texts down. It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Who is speaking here in the Garden of Eden? Who is speaking? Jesus said that. And who was he talking to? He was talking to the serpent. After Adam and Eve sinned, the first person that Jesus addressed was the serpent. And he said, I will put enmity, hatred, division between you and my people. I will do that. Right there at the beginning of the Bible, Jesus made a promise that someone was coming to take care of the situation that just occurred in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we've got Cain and Abel. Now, what does that teach us? That after sin entered in, God instituted a sacrificial system. And you bring your sacrifice, and your sins are forgiven. Friends, they learned that an innocent, helpless animal would take our place and take away our sins by the shedding of the blood of that animal. And everybody knew that that was a promise, that a Messiah was coming and he would pay the price for us. And Noah understood that. Imagine after the horrific experience of going through the flood. And if you haven't read Patriarchs and Prophets lately, and you are not aware of how devastating and frightening a flood that was. I mean, it was even worse than the hurricane that hit the Philippines. Yeah. I mean, this was horrific. And what, he gets off the boat, and what does he do? He built an altar. And notice what it says. He took every clean animal of every clean bird and offered it a burnt offering. What does that tell us? I mean, when we go a little deeper, that he, by faith, sacrificed what was ultimately going to be their food, right? There was no fruits or vegetables anymore. That was going to take years to regenerate. And so, a promised Messiah is coming. And then we have Abraham, who learned a horrific lesson that a human sacrifice doesn't work. Which also tells us, really, that the animal sacrifice doesn't work. It is pointing to something else. And by faith with the prophets and the Holy Spirit, they knew that a Messiah was coming. A Savior was coming. He would take our place in spite of the fact that we were sinful. He would be our substitute. And then, of course, we got Moses. And Moses on the mountain. I love this. Moses was given two things on the mountain. All of you for sure know the first one. What was it? Yes. Directions to building a sanctuary which would clearly demonstrate to the people the plan of salvation. That a substitute was coming to pay the price and the penalty for sin. And then we got Solomon, him and David. He shall build the house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Right after the Israelites got to the promised land, they subdued some of the enemies around them. They built a beautiful temple to take the place of the sandbox parable they were still worshiping out of from the wilderness. A substitute is coming. And then we have Isaiah. Check this out. And by the way, I could have gone crazy, but I just tried to pick the high points. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And what's the definition of Emmanuel? God with us. A substitute is coming. And if anyone had doubts, Isaiah clarified for us that that substitute would be Jesus. But notice also in chapter 9 of Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God would sacrifice himself for his people. By the way, our children sang that today. No, our youth choir sang that today. You guys sounded really good. I'm not kidding. Wow. And then we got Daniel. And look what Daniel said. Know therefore, get ready, and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, friends, we have gone through this a number of times in this church, and will continue to. Daniel pinpoints the exact day that the Messiah would begin his ministry. That means that the unto us a child is born. It revealed the exact date when he would start his ministry. It was written in the prophets. So I end with this picture. Do you see something wrong? Can you think of something wrong? Why in the world did the angels appear to the shepherds? Smelly, stinky shepherds. Wouldn't you think that the angel would go to Jerusalem? To the temple on Mount Zion? And break this glorious news to the priests and the people living there? They weren't looking for the Messiah. They had no clue that this was his time. The only ones that were looking for the Messiah were the shepherds. Therefore, the angels who left heaven at the command of Jesus, who headed directly for the temple, in horror and shock, stopped in midair and realized nothing was different. But there were some shepherds who are looked down upon. You know, not only the Egyptians looked down on shepherds, but so did the people, the upper crust, that go to the church in the beautiful sanctuary in Jerusalem. The angels couldn't go there. No one was looking for the Messiah. They had no clue what's wrong with this picture. I'm assuming you know that that's Herod. I'm assuming you know those are the three wise men. Look what Matthew tells us. Matthew, the second chapter, 1 through 3. Verse 3 says, and when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. The wake-up call came from some heathen dogs that we look down on and worship idols. They came to the city of God, to the king. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? What are you talking about? I'm the king of the Jews. Are you? You scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders, you're pulling a fast one on me.
Oh, really? There's a king? Oh, I'd like to know where that king is so I can worship him. And as soon as the wise men, the heathen dogs that were looked down upon because they didn't go to church on Sabbath, they ate pork. They went out and it says the star reappeared and Herod called in the priest and said, where's this king supposed to be born? And they quoted to him from Micah in Bethlehem. This is amazing to me, friends. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And the only ones that bothered to go visit Jesus were the shepherds. Now, have you read the story carefully? It said they went forth and spread the news everywhere. And no one said, well, let's, you know, the religious leaders, let's go there. Let's see this phenomenon. No. No. How dare they teach us theology? We're the interpreters of Scripture. And we know nothing of a king being born. What? When Daniel prophesied the exact date? What an incredibly clear warning in the Bible every time Christmas comes to you and I. That when He came, no one was waiting and no one was ready. Now friends, I want you to translate this out to you and I now. Please forgive me. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I know the Sabbath. I don't eat pork. I don't drink coffee. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. I think we've gotten a little weak on that one. I don't go to movies. I don't dance. I don't play cards. Nothing is going to fool me. I got it made. And the Israelites were Seventh-day Adventists who had all the prophecies, had all the prophets, had the temple, had the sacrificial system, and they were not looking for the Messiah. They didn't even know He was coming. Folks, if you feel complacent in the fact you're an Adventist and not working on your relationship with Jesus, we are in trouble. And that's exactly what Christmas teaches. The good part is look what else Christmas teaches. That our Messiah God was born in a barn. How many in here were born in a barn? I come from the Midwest. I know what a barn is. Dirty, dusty, smelly, full of cracks and holes, spiders, webs. Our Messiah God was laid in a cow feeder. How many of you were laid in a cow feeder after you were born? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our substitute, was wrapped in rags. Surrounded by farm animals. Very unsanitary. Not to mention, where's the bathroom? He was born to a poor family. He lived in a ghetto. He lived in Nazareth. That's in Galilee. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was a blended family. His stepfather, by the way, died early. He was abused by his step-siblings and made fun of. In other words, especially boys and girls, Jesus was bullied. They made fun of him. And he came here to go to Gethsemane. And in Gethsemane, he took the sins of the universe upon him. And those sins were so gigantically, monstrously heavy that he literally, I believe this and I'm going to share it with you, he died the first death in the Garden of Gethsemane, and an angel had to come and revive him because the task wasn't over yet. He was delivered up to the Gentiles. This is Luke 18, verse 32, 33. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to be delivered up to the Gentiles. Delivered means handed over, means betrayed by the people he came to save, the people who had the prophecies. They handed him over to the Romans, who they desperately hated and wanted to eradicate. They wanted Jesus to stand up and destroy and kill and plunder all the Romans and set them free and make them rich. He wouldn't do it. So they mocked him. They made fun of him. And that word insulted implies in the Greek violence. And I'm really playing this down. If we were to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was scourged, but he was scourged twice, not once. And then he also said, spit on. Jesus knew everything that would happen to him, including being born in a barn, laid in a cow feeder, wrapped in rags, because he loves Peter Neary. Because he wants Peter Neary in heaven. And I am fighting, my friends, to stay in line with Jesus because I have a human nature. And it's constantly fighting for supremacy over my words, my actions, my diet, everything. And when I go through these lists and I remember this, what did they do to him? They crucified him. We got to get rid of this guy. And God went through all of that just for me and just for you, friends. By the way, when I showed you Herod, I forgot to mention to you something. Do you realize that after the wise men never came back, they were warned by an angel to split? No one went there to look for Jesus. And after the shepherds announced that no one went there to look for Jesus. And so I am remiss if I do not share with us the incredible, frightening warning that comes every Christmas on how complacency will destroy our eternity. And all this that Jesus went through, for those that do that, complacent, was wasted. But the beauty is, our God really, really loves us.
Bethlehem, be born in.
Thank you, sweet Mary. Appreciate that. Let us pray, Father. It was a heavy lesson today we learned from the Bible. That your people that you had gifted with all the advantages were not looking for you, even though they were attending church, sacrificing, and calling themselves your people. And Lord, don't let us do that, please. May the Paradise Church spend time every day worshiping you. And Lord, again too, may we read through our Bible this year. In fact, on the table out in the lobby, we have the directions. The paper is there, Lord, showing us what to read when, so that in one year we can read our Bible. So, Lord, don't let anybody be discouraged. And if they are, then remind them of your circumstances when you came here and when you left here. And we are guaranteed to be at peace because you paid a price you will never ask us to pay. So bless our closing hymn, our closing prayer. That all of it together brings honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing that beautiful Christmas carol, Joy to the World. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of paradise. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so they shall put my name on the children of paradise, and I will bless them.
In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.